Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
George, age 92, and Jane, age 89, were all excited about their decision to get married. They went for a stroll to discuss wedding plans, and on the way, they passed the drugstore. The elderly couple entered the store where George asked to speak to the owner. And George asked them, "Do you sell heart medication?" The owner replied, "Of course we do. How about support hose to help with poor circulation?" "Definitely," the owner replied. "What about medicine for rheumatism, osteoporosis, and arthritis?" "All kinds," said the owner with confidence. "How about hearing aid and denture supplies and reading glasses?" "Yes, sir." "What about eye drops, sleeping pills, Geritol, and Ensure?" "Absolutely." "Do you sell wheelchairs, walkers, and canes?" "All kinds and sizes," the owner replied. "But why all these questions?" George smiled proudly and announced, "We're about to get married, and we'd like to use your store as our bridal registry." There are challenges that come with aging. Pastor C.R. Stamm, the founder of Berean Bible Society, used to say that getting old isn't for sissies. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 has a lot to say about the aging process, as we'll see. But as we consider the question, what is my purpose? Solomon reminds us that life is short, challenges are coming with aging, and that death is inevitable for all of us. He teaches us to remember our Creator from our youth, that we might use our lives and our time wisely and to the fullest, living for our Creator and for His purposes. Ecclesiastes 12, 1-2 reads, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain." In chapter 12, we come to the final entries of Solomon's journal about his journey and attempt to find meaning and purpose for life. And he had come to realize the importance of remembering and walking with his Creator. And he sees the wisdom of doing that from early on in our lives. God, again, is being gracious with us here as Solomon writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God is giving us counsel before the fact. He is advising and encouraging us to live for Him, to know Him, to build a relationship with Him from our youth, because that's where purpose for our life is found. We find purpose in serving, trusting, and knowing the God of all creation. When we do so, this will keep us from wasting our time and looking in all the places where joy and meaning are not found. For each person, God is our Creator, and we, His creation, find purpose when we serve and live for our Creator. And God wants us to do so from the very beginning of our life. He wants to use our whole life for His honor and glory, because living for the glory of God is our purpose. To remember Him, as it says there in verse 1, does not mean just a mental act or to think about God. It means a commitment. The term in the Hebrew means to act decisively on behalf of someone. God wants us to act decisively on behalf of God while we are young. He wants to make us to make a settled, decisive decision to follow Him and to follow His ways, to commit ourselves to Him and yield our lives to His plan and purposes. He created us, and He knows what's best for us. So we should trust His wise direction for our lives. Solomon advises that this submission and commitment to the Creator should be done in and from youth. Because it's easy when you're young to neglect or overlook the importance of your relationship with the Lord. Because there's so many distractions and there's a lot of excitement and there's a lot of changes taking place as you grow up. But Solomon says dark days, evil days, difficult days are coming. So it's vitally important to lay a good, solid spiritual foundation early on in life to prepare you and give you strength for the dark days when they do come. It's easy to think that we'll be young forever, but the years start clicking by. And the years draw near and are coming in which Solomon says, I have no pleasure in them. Difficult years lacking in pleasure due to age are coming. In our youth, the sky is bright. The sun, light, and moon, and stars are not darkened. But Solomon says years are coming where there will be darkness, and there will be one storm after another storm. In earlier years, there are times of rain or trouble and discouragement, but the sun reemerges. But in old age, it seems that the sunny days are long gone, and after each time of rain, the sun doesn't reappear, just another heavy cloud appears with the promise of more. Ecclesiastes 12:3-4 read, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Stories told of a group of seniors who were sitting around talking about all their ailments. One said, my arms have gotten so weak, I can hardly lift this cup of coffee. Yes, I know, said another. My cataracts are so bad, I can't even see my coffee. I couldn't even mark an X at election time. My hands are so crippled, volunteered a third. I can't turn my head because of the arthritis in my neck, said a fourth. My blood pressure pills make me so dizzy, exclaimed another. I forget where I am and where I'm going, said another. I guess that's the price we pay for getting old, winced an old man as he slowly shook his head. The others all nodded in agreement. Then one woman piped in cheerfully, well, we should count our blessings and thank the Lord. We all can still drive. Solomon explains the aging process here with its numerous ailments through many figurative images, and he gives a very poetic picture of old age. The body of the older person is presented under the figure of a house. And Solomon mentions the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble. The hands and the arms protect the body as guards do a house or palace. Solomon says a day is coming when the keepers, though once strong and active, will shake and tremble. Solomon says the strong men shall bow or bend themselves. The legs, knees, shoulders weaken with age, and the aged begin to walk bent over and to totter. In our youth, we can run, jump, and leap with no problem, but that won't always be the case. It's said when you know when you're getting older when your back goes out more often than you do. And you know you're getting older when you stoop to tie your shoelaces and you wonder what else you can do while you're down there. Verse 3 also says that a day is coming when the grinders will cease because they are few. In other words, the older we'll get, the less and less teeth we're going to have, and the more we'll have to gum our food. Our teeth will one day no longer be able to chew and grind our food because there will be too few uppers to meet the remaining lowers. Verse 3 further says that as we get older, those that look out of the windows be darkened or grow dim. This refers to deteriorating and failing vision. The days are coming when, as we age, our eyesight will worsen and glasses become necessary. It will go from bifocals to trifocals to surgery for cataracts and the need for extra large type. From teeth and eyesight, Solomon next refers to our hearing. He says, the day will come also that the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. The doors shut in the streets represents one who is hard of hearing, which cuts the elderly person off from the sounds all around them. The sound of the grinding of low is speaking of the inside of the house. It speaks of how in Solomon's day and culture, the common sound of the grinding of grain in the home is low and barely discernible. And so in the streets and in the home, everywhere they go, things are harder to hear. And you get the, what's that? You repeat that? And the older among us get frustrated because everyone nowadays, they mumble so badly that you can barely hear what anyone says. From personal experience, the more aged Solomon now says, he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. As a younger person, you might have been able to sleep through the roar of a 747 or a locomotive thundering by your window. But now the slightest noise terminates sleep, even just the chirping of birds in the early morning. And so the elderly suffer from insomnia and light sleep, wishing they could sleep longer, but rising up bright and early each day. And we'll be unable to sing as we once could sing, because the voice begins to crackle and waver and becomes unsteady and weaker.
We'll be returning to the program in just a minute. But first, we'd like to take this time to thank you, our partners, for making these programs possible. If you would like to access our library of helpful Bible study tools, go to BereanBibleSociety.org.
Discerning the Will of God is a 48-page booklet written by Pastor Ricky Kirk. What sincere believer hasn't sought God's will when facing big decisions, such as whom to marry? We even look to Him in everyday areas of life, such as which car to buy. Then, we also seek to understand God's will when we lose a child or other tragedy strikes. Discerning the will of God provides the believer with comfort in understanding God's will and direction in seeking it. To order your copy, contact the Berean Bible Society, 262-255-4750, or visit our website at www.BereanBibleSociety.org.
To receive our free, full-color 32-page monthly magazine, The Berean Searchlight, call 262-255-4750 or subscribe online at www.BereanBibleSociety.org. Thank you again for your generous gifts. And now, back to the teaching with Pastor Kevin.
Ecclesiastes 12:5-8 reads, "And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. All is vanity." A woman was sitting in the waiting room for her first appointment with a new dentist. She noticed his DDS diploma, which bore his full name. Suddenly she remembered that a tall, dark-haired boy with the same name had been in her high school class so many years ago. And she wondered, could this be the same guy I had a crush on way back then? And she quickly discarded any such thought when she met the balding, gray-haired man with the deeply lined face. He's way too old to have been my classmate, she thought to herself. And still, after he examined her teeth, she asked, "Did you happen to attend Morgan Park High School?" He gleamed with pride and said, "Yes, I'm a Mustang. When did you graduate?" she asked. 1959, he replied. "Why do you ask?" "You were in my class," she exclaimed. "Really?" he said, looking at her closely. "What did you teach?" Even though we may not feel old or feel like we look very old, this aging process takes place in each of our lives. And the Bible portrays it accurately and beautifully. Fear begins to take over in old age. Solomon refers to getting older that they shall be afraid of that which is high. Increasing age brings with it a fear of heights and high places. There's also a constant fear of falling, which may result in broken bones. their awareness of all dangers can become more acute, making them more afraid to venture out, and fear shall be in the way, Solomon says. And as you age, you get more overprotective and preoccupied with possible dangers. And you tend to warn your loved ones when they go anywhere of all the dangers they could encounter and the dangers they need to avoid. And you name them one by one, and common words become, be careful. Solomon turns to the hare when he says, and the almond tree shall flourish or bloom. When an almond tree blooms, it has a white and a silver-gray appearance. And so the picture is painted here of one whose hair turns white and gray as they age. The grasshopper shall be a burden speaks of the failing of strength and how even the lightest of objects, like a grasshopper, becomes heavy and a burden for the older person to carry. Desire shall fail speaks to natural appetites diminishing and ceasing altogether, but also how at the end of life, the appetite for food fades and stops. And then Solomon says, man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. The aging process and our physical decline ultimately culminates in our death and people grieving our departure and homegoing. Then King Solomon describes the common ways people go to their long home, their eternal home. The imagery describes a golden bowl or a lamp hanging from the ceiling on a silver cord. That silver cord refers to the thread of life. When that silver cord breaks, the burning lamp falls to the ground, shatters, portrays death as tragic and irreversible. The idea is that when the cord of life snaps, it causes the light of life to go out. The breaking of the golden bowl is often equated with the brain or a stroke here. The first part of the verse equates life with light. The second part equates life with water. The breaking of the pitcher and wheel speaks of a well and a pitcher filled with water being drawn up. But the wheel suddenly breaks, causing the pitcher to drop and to shatter. And thus no more water can be drawn. The machinery of life stops working, and the water of life stops flowing. And this is often equated to the heart. When it breaks, it stops pumping, and the blood stops circulating, and death comes as a result of heart failure or a sudden heart attack. And then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, wrote Solomon. And this recalls Genesis 2:7, when man was made and formed of the dust of the ground. And as God told Adam in Genesis 3:19, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. James 2:26 says, the body without the spirit is dead. The spirit leaves the body at death. And then the body begins to decay and eventually turns to dust. For the believer, at death, their spirit goes to be with God. And death is simply an entrance into heaven where we'll meet our Savior and live and reign eternally with Him in glory. For the unbeliever, they will meet God at one day. Their spirit goes to Hades, however, to await their time when they will meet and stand before God. And when they do at the great white throne, they will be judged for their sins and their sinful works and cast into the lake of fire forever. All of this is going to happen. Solomon's words eventually will impact all of us. The Bible's predictions and warnings are reliable and timeless. It tells us truth ahead of time. And it implores us to believe it, trust it, and live in light of it. There will come a day when these physical infirmities due to the aging process will take place. There will come that day, if the Lord doesn't come first, that we will go to our long home. So are you ready? Do you know where you'll spend eternity? We beg each of you to trust Christ as your Savior right now, to trust that He died for your sins personally and rose again. Trusting that good news gives us a home in heaven eternally. Solomon's portrait of aging, again, is primarily for the youth, for the young to stop and ponder the direction that they are going. He wants to use your life. He wants you to make a settled decision to give Him your whole life, and you will find purpose for your life in doing so. When we live a life built on the rock-solid foundation of the Word of God, when you live by faith in Him and for things you cannot see, it brings real meaning to your life. When His purpose is put into our lives, it's been said it's like a ray of light hitting a prism and suddenly beautiful colors shine through and all around us. Remembering your Creator in the days of your youth is so very crucial. It will lead one to live for what is most important and for what is lasting. If you look at life and you live your life apart from God, trying to find meaning, truth, and purpose without Him, you're going to end up with the same conclusion as Solomon at the end of your life, as verse 8 says. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. All is vanity. It's all empty, futile, pointless, and really disappointing. But with God, living for the Creator, it is the exact opposite. It is a full life. It is a life filled with joy. It is a life filled with meaning and purpose. Ecclesiastes 12, 9-12 reads, "And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh." In the journal we have before us of Solomon's search and journey in the life, he closes on a personal note, and he underscores the validity and truth of the teaching of his book and the advice he offered in it. He stated that he was wise and shared his knowledge with others, transmitting his wisdom in Proverbs after giving them good heed, or carefully weighing them, proving and testing them for accuracy. He took thoughtful care in his search for meaning and purpose. He chose his words carefully. He used upright words of truth, and as such, they were pointed and convincing. And he says his words were as goads. Goads were sharp, pointed sticks to prod an animal along. Solomon's words prodded people to pay attention and to obey. And his words were like nails, driving truth into the mind and truths on which to hang your life. And these words, which were like goads and well-driven nails, were given by inspiration, given from the supreme giver of wisdom, as Solomon calls him, the one shepherd, which is God. And as the shepherd, as a shepherd is and does, it speaks to the fact of his words relaying care and concern about the direction of our life. God is concerned about our lives. He cares deeply for each of us. He only wants what's best for us. He does not want us to live for what is temporary, meaningless, and empty. He wants us to turn to Him and find life's meaning and purpose in Him. And He will direct our paths and show us the ways of true peace and joy. Solomon, for the first time at the very end, addresses his son. What he says makes every student not in agreement. Much study is a weariness of the flesh. And Solomon says, if one would keep looking for answers to the meaning of life in many other books, they'd only exhaust themselves and it would be pointless. Solomon's point in warning his son is to show him and all his readers that there is no need to keep looking for answers for life's meaning and purpose beyond what God has said here. In other words, stop here. Just trust God and His Word. That meaning, purpose, joy, satisfaction, and fulfillment for your life are found in Him alone. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. King Solomon, the preacher, sums up his message and gives the simple conclusion of all of his in-depth research and discourse about life. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. Solomon's final word on the issues of life focus on a person's relationship to the living God. He tells us that we need to put God first in our lives, before all other things. We need to fear and respect the true and the living God. He is worthy of our fear and respect. We need to bend and bow our hearts. We need to bow our minds and wills in loving submission to Him and His authority over our lives. He created life. He alone knows how it best should be lived. He's given us His instruction for how to live before Him. And Solomon says that as we fear and respect the Lord, we need to keep or yield and obey His instruction and commands that He gives us for our lives, which are for our good. Now, Solomon lived under the law. So to keep His commandments back then was about keeping the law and God's will and His word for that dispensation. We, the body of Christ, live under grace. So to keep His commandments today, we must obey God's will and His word for this dispensation of grace found in the letters of Paul. Because as Paul wrote, "The things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." What is the purpose of life? After every detail had been examined by Solomon in trying to answer this question, he found that life's purpose rests in God and in His Word. He gives our lives meaning. And it's been rightly said that the heart is restless until it finds its rest in God. Are you restless? Has your heart found rest in God?
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society, P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 53022. Now, until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.